Hi everyone, I'm Ksenia.
And I'm Anna.
And you are listening to CareerZilla, a podcast where people from all over the world share their stories about career change.
If you always dreamed of having a new job or new career but was not quite sure where to start, this podcast is for you. Stay tuned to learn secret hacks and tricks about career transformations from our guests.
Every second and fourth Thursday of the month, our guests share with you their insights on how to kick off a new career.
And now let's start.
Hi everyone. Today we are talking to Carly Hulz, who is a mentor, speaker, and responsible travel advocate. Carly has developed a website dedicated to slow travel and living in Vienna, Austria, and a business to more directly impact travelers. Hi, Carly. We are very glad that you found some time to join us today.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys. Super excited to talk about nerdy, slow travel stuff with you.
Great. We're also very excited. So you're essentially a founder of Austrian Adaptation. This is a blog about slow travel. There is also business directly associated with it. Could you please explain to us and our listener a concept of your business? How does your typical workday look like? And what is the most important for you in your business?
Sure. So the blog itself, Austrian Adaptation, I actually started it, as you can probably hear, I'm Australian. And I moved to Vienna in 2012. And I started the blog basically because I didn't have a visa, didn't have any friends, couldn't speak German, and was freaking out about life. So I started a blog because I figured writing about it, there might be other people going through a similar kind of experience. And this was way back in 2012 when you could still have a blog post go viral on Facebook, which is what happened about a year in. And the blog has always sort of been my creative outlet, my pillar, and it's now grown and developed into one arm of my business. So the blog got me my job that I went on to hold at Tourator, which is one of Austria's number one travel startups. For about 6 years, I was on the executive team there, but I always kept the blog going, learned a lot about it, went to a lot of travel blogging conferences, and really enjoyed having that as my outlet. And then as it got more successful, as I learned more about the digital travel space and how startups work, at the start of 2020, ironically now that I think about it, but at the start of 2020, I made the leap to go full-time self-employed with the blog, but also I have some work basically doing coaching, consulting for travel companies and creative entrepreneurs. So helping them with working towards getting a startup mindset, how they can optimize their business process workflows on top of regular blogger content creator work and campaigns like, creating images and promotion campaigns for certain destinations. So it's all interrelated, all intertwined, but it did all start with a little blog back in 2012 that has now grown into a coaching and consulting business, which I'm really, really enjoying.
Oh, that sounds very exciting. Did you work in the travel industry in Australia?
Yeah, so I actually started back in 2008. I, like many, many Australians, we all, when we finish university, we head over to Europe, and most people like do backpacking trips for a year or more. So I did the classic Australian backpacker trip around Europe for a year and then came back and became a travel agent for one of the largest brands in Australia. And that really gave me the skills basis in sales, in the different coding systems that they use for booking flights, so tools like Galileo. And understanding the brand and the industry and a lot of leadership training. And through that, I then applied to become a tour guide for an Australian tour company. So I don't know if you guys know these, they're super popular in Australia, but you'll see them in Vienna. They're the coach tours that go around all of Europe, so 2 days per country. And I applied for it for one of those Australian companies to be a tour guide in Europe because I wanted to get out of Australia. I wanted to get off the island. And I've always been super comfortable and confident standing up in front of a crowd, performing a little bit. So tour guiding seems like a really fun, exciting way to combine those two passions. And that was in 2011. I got a one-way ticket to London, hoping that I would get the job. There was no guarantees. Went through a really grueling training process of 6 weeks all around Europe, learning the history and the culture. I learned about the Habsburgs for the first time ever, and basically being put through my paces to be able to become a tour guide and be responsible for, you know, 40-odd backpackers who were sometimes pretty tipsy or hungover on their holidays. So it was the making of me. It was the job of a lifetime. I absolutely loved it. But it's one of those jobs that you can do for a short time, but absolutely life-changing. So I came to Vienna with that background. I had the travel industry background. I'd had sales background, and then I'd had operational on the ground experience. So even though I couldn't speak German, coming into Vienna, I did have that skills basis to fall back on.
Was the business environment here in Austria something very, very different to Australian? And how did you adapt? What helped you to fit in and leverage on your skills which you obtained in Australia?
Oh man, it was my first job when I got to Vienna. I worked for the Verkehrsbüro, which is like a major travel company here, and I was booking flights for people who worked at the United Nations and IAEA. And the thing that amazed me about working in Austria was this whole, like, you have a canteen upstairs and people go and have lunch together for an hour and they have a full schnitzel and a potato. Like, I know that seems like a really weird detail, but the working culture was so different. Like, being a travel agent back in Australia, I would be eating a salad at my desk in like 5 minutes flat, never taking a break. So it was really eye-opening. And I mean, any immigrant who's been through the process of adapting to life in a new country knows how challenging and contrasting those things can be. But I think for me, it was jumping into the startup world. So I had my job at Verkehrsbüro, I had the blog, and then the blog blew up a little bit, and the CEO of the company that I would go on to work for found me via my blog, which is just about the most millennial way to get a job ever. And that, I mean, that obviously helped that I was Australian, that the founder was Australian. We had a shared kind of cultural understanding. And even outside of that, I think working for a startup in Austria is very, very different to working for a major company that's been around for decades. So that kind of smoothed the transition for me. It was a much more relaxed environment. We still sat down and had, you know, team lunches together, and that was revolutionary to me. But the startup approach and attitude was much more in line with my working drive and motivation, because it was so dynamic and everything was changing every day and constant push to do more and more and more and succeed. So yeah, it's been interesting to learn the Austrian way of work style, but I fully respect it. Like, I love that after 2 o'clock on a Friday, you can't speak to an Austrian in an office. They're all gone already. I think in some ways they've figured it out there, and workaholics in Australia and the US maybe have a lot to learn.
That is a very cool story. You got your first job in Austria through your blog. I guess there is a huge difference between starting your blog back then in 2012 or 2013 and now. What would you advise young people who are dreaming to start their blog in 2020?
I mean, to be honest, the biggest piece of advice I have is to start. Like, you can sit there for days and weeks and months and have an existential crisis about what do I do and how should I write and what is my niche, and you know, we all have, I still have those questions, but the best advice I have is just start, and you are going to learn so much on the way. I was able to supplement, like, my role at TourRadar, my full-time job was actually not really related to content creation at all. I was the head of the global sales and customer support team, so I was managing teams in three different countries and time zones and being on the executive board. But it supplemented like my knowledge of being able to blog and knowledge of how to navigate WordPress and how do social media channels work and what does Pinterest do, and just having that really rounded out my skills. So I would say don't overthink it. Just try with what interests you the most. If you want to start with video stuff because you've always been comfortable filming things and telling stories, then do that. Don't try and, you know, reinvent the wheel. Start with what you're motivated to stick with, because that consistency is the key to longevity.
How would you choose the best blogging platform now? And how often do you think one needs to publish posts?
Oh, this is a good question. So I started out, as many bloggers did and still do, I started out on WordPress.com, which is the free just post here. I then migrated to WordPress.org, which is where you can host your own site. And just this last year, I've moved to Squarespace, which is another platform, which is more designed for websites than it is for blogging specifically. I think if you want to, you know, make your life easy, start with WordPress. There's lots of tutorials out there. It's relatively straightforward and it will give you a good baseline understanding. But if you're starting, say, your own small business or a small e-commerce site, if you're wanting to sell handmade face masks or headbands or, you know, whatever art you make, your own photography, Squarespace or its other competitor Wix are actually really good platforms for what I call like websites, proper websites where you have different landing pages more than just a blog. So it depends on what your goals are. You know, that's the whole thing with blogging. It takes a lot of self-education and commitment, but all of those things will count towards either the job you already have or the job you want in the future. So if you can turn around and say, yeah, I'm experienced at marketing myself, I'm experienced at these marketing channels, I'm experienced on this platform, that is a huge asset. And it keeps you learning and not being stagnant.
How did you motivate yourself at the very beginning? Because one story is now when it's your business and there are hundreds and thousands of people who are reading your blog every day. But another story when you just started it, maybe it was mainly, I guess, your friends and relatives. And did you feel really some crisis when you were thinking, God, why do I waste so much time because no one is interested in it? Do you remember this kind of tipping point when you was like, okay, it works really. I'm so glad.
I love that you said that there's 100,000 people reading my blog every day, because I don't think that's ever happened, so thank you.
Well, then that's the next goal, I guess.
That's what we're aiming for. But no, I mean, of course, in the beginning, the blog kept me sane, because like I said, I didn't have work, I didn't, you know, I needed a project, I needed something to do with my brain. And in the beginning, I mean, even up until the last couple of years, it was pushing through, not for the bigger numbers, and it's really easy to get caught up in horrible comparisonitis where you're looking at, oh my God, they're growing bigger than I am, and why do they have X amount of Instagram followers and I only have this, and la la. You can get really caught up in that. But what kept me motivated was every time I wrote something and shared something honest and helpful, I would get contacted by readers who were going through similar things. So one of the posts that was my most vulnerable at the time and continues to be the one that I get contacted about a lot is talking about how when I came to Austria, I married my husband for, ostensibly we got married for a visa. Like, I'd met him in January, we got married by September. And I was really nervous about publishing that in the first place because, obviously, first of all, I don't want the Austrian authorities to come and knock on my door and be like, me, what is this fraud? Thankfully, we've been married for 8 years, so it wasn't a fraud, but, you know. But in writing that post, I've had so many people contact me saying, oh my God, I'm in the same position. I don't know what to do. I've fallen in love with this person. How did you do it? How did you survive it? And so on those, in terms of motivation, it for me, it was always, there has to be someone else out there going through this. How can I find them or relate to them or hopefully help them in some way? Because I felt so alone when I was going through it. I wanted to be that support for someone else, which sounds very, you know, woo-woo and airy-fairy, but those responses, getting emails from people who are going through the same thing, asking for help or thanking me for that, that was what motivated me. It's really easy to get caught up in that sense of I have to do this and I have to hit those numbers, but I think it's more important that you stay true to your own motivations. And mine has always been, you know, it was never the goal to be the Austria's biggest English blogger, which would be gross, but it was, how can I help people who are going through what I'm going through?
We are currently going through the corona crisis and travel industry have been heavily hit by it. How do you see the future of traveling in the next years? What would you advise young professionals who have been working in the industry or are dreaming to start?
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's a really challenging time. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people have lost their income. It's really, really hard. And for a lot of destinations that rely on tourism dollars for a large part of their GDP, it's going to be quite problematic. Like, this is not, even if we open up borders and stuff, the economic repercussions of this pause are, you know, predictions have said that it's going to impact the travel industry for at least the next 5 years. So it is very, very serious. But I also think it's an interesting, I'm a forever optimist, so I think it's an interesting opportunity to reassess what kind of travel are we promoting, what kind of behavior are we encouraging from travelers, and how are we making sure that the travel actions that we take are supporting local communities and giving back to the cultures and environment and economies that we've, because, I mean, we all know it, we've all lived through it, this Instagram era of travel where you're going somewhere with your selfie stick to just get that same photo that everyone has sitting on a swing in Bali or standing on a cliff in Norway or whatever other cliche kind of photo you want, has had an impact on the economic and environmental and cultural side of those destinations. And I am the last person to judge anyone, like, go ahead and take your Leaning Tower of Pisa photos. Everyone is welcome to do that. But I think this pause and this realignment with local travel, you know, people are restricted now to only staying in their own countries. So they're, you know, even for myself, I'm going out and exploring more of Austria, even having an Austria travel blog. I think it's a really interesting opportunity to look into our own backyards and to question a lot of the things that we took for granted with travel. Like, should we really be able to fly for £20 to a destination 5 hours away? That's insane. Like, you're flying in a tin can in the sky and you're only paying £20. I pay more for a t-shirt sometimes. So I think it's an interesting time for a lot of senior members of the travel industry to assess how they want to move forward, destinations in particular. And for people just getting started in their careers, it's an opportunity to, you know, first of all, anyone coming into a travel industry career, I can tell you right now, your digital know-how, your native digital know-how is, you are going to be surprised by how far ahead of the curve you are just from having grown up with technology, which is a huge, huge asset that shouldn't be underestimated. But second of all, I think people at the start of their careers now will have this new perspective to offer for travel and tourism brands. And I think travel and tourism brands, if they're savvy, should be listening to those newer perspectives. What are younger travelers looking for? Because they're going to be the next generation that spends their money in destinations on travel products. And I think the values are shifting. That's obviously all just prediction and everything else, but I actually think now is a very interesting time to get into travel. And if you are, you know, if you're motivated, if you're digitally savvy and you want to question the way that things are done, it's a really big opportunity.
Yes, and the experience with content creation can give a huge advantage during the job search. you actually create content not only for your own blog, but also for a Lonely Planet local. How did it start?
I mean, first of all, yes, of course, I always dreamed about it. I'm Lonely Planet. I'm from Melbourne originally, and Lonely Planet is a Melbourne brand. So it's really like a big deal in my life to be able to write for them. And this actually came about from attending travel blogging conferences and networking. So there's quite a lot, especially in Europe, in, let's say, in normal times or in the pre-corona times, there's a lot of different conferences and networking events for travel bloggers in particular. So there's Traverse events, which is probably one of the best quality, best regarded travel blogging events in Europe. There is also TBEC and a couple of other smaller local events. So I went to, I think it was my second TBEC event in Stockholm in 2016. And basically they get a whole bunch of speakers together and they get a whole bunch of travel brands and a whole bunch of travel bloggers into one space, and there's activities and workshops, and then there's like a two-day conference where you have all of these speakers and you learn so much, but there's also lots of networking events. And at one of these events, at Lonely Planet had their stand there. I booked an appointment in advance and spoke to them about my focus, which of course is Vienna and Austria, and they were looking for local content creators to be able to supplement and keep their content fresh. So it was really just a matter of putting myself out there, like being ballsy enough to sit down in front of Lonely Planet, and I was sweating the whole time, but to sit down in front of them and say, yep, I want to, you know, tell you guys about what's going on here and what are the places that are not necessarily as famous as Café Central that are worth visiting. And that's been, yeah, crap, like that's 4 years now that I've been doing bits and pieces for them on and off as a Lonely Planet local, and I love it. It keeps me sharp. It gives me an insight into how the Lonely Planet brand works and how it's changed and developed over time. And it was just, yeah, there's a lot to be said for networking and socializing in the end. So I can only recommend it.
Yeah, that sounds very exciting. But actually, have you always been a great writer, or did you develop it somehow and trained?
So I never took a writing course per se, but I was always like like that nerdy kid who was writing in a diary and writing stories. And, you know, I'm a total book fiend. Like, I will read novels like no one's business, especially in lockdown. I've been charging through them. So I don't have a certificate or a degree or anything, but the thing that I find with writing is the more you do it, the more naturally it comes. And the closer you can write to your own voice, the more relatable and authentic it is. Obviously, for something like Lonely Planet, like they have their brand guidelines and their tone guidelines. So that was a really good learning opportunity for me as well. And was quite challenging in the beginning to switch. You know, my blog is quite chatty and I write like I'm talking to a friend. But Lonely Planet is quite specific, and you have to be descriptive in a very short amount of words to create the feeling of a location while also capturing the important details. So that was a really good challenge, but again, learning by doing. I didn't wait for someone to approve or give me a certificate or anything. I just put myself out there to give it a go, really.
Well, I also know that you are writing a book now. Do you want to tell us what it is about and when we are going to read it?
Oh my God, yes. This is like my baby that I've dreamed of doing for all the years that I was working full-time. I was like, yes, I'll get this out in the world one day. So what I'm currently working on is a slow travel guide to Vienna. Having lived here since 2012 and obviously having written for a whole bunch of different travel publications like Lonely Planet, Forbes Travel, I wanted to create something that was a little bit different from the regular travel guides that you get for Vienna that will say all of the typical locations, which are fantastic. And yes, you should absolutely visit. You can't come to Vienna and not go to Schönbrunn Palace. But I wanted to create something a little bit more focused on local experiences, because I feel like people who come to Vienna never quite or don't commonly get to experience some of the beautiful perks of the city. You kind of have to, Vienna's very secretive, you kind of have to dig around a bit to find the really, really good stuff, all the good Heutigers and all the good restaurants and bars. So my slow travel guide to Vienna is basically a curated digital guide, including a download map of where all those places are. So it'll have food and drinks and coffee places and outdoor activities and neighborhoods to explore, and will basically be the amalgamation of the last 8 years of every time I have a friend who visits or every time I write an article on my blog, including those places that make Vienna special. Currently being worked on, it should be released by summer of 2020, and I'm hoping that by doing so I can also help support a lot of the local businesses who have been obviously really challenged with the last few months of lockdown and everything else. So I'm excited to get it out in the world. I just need to finish.
That sounds fantastic. We're looking forward. Will it be released on your website, Austrian Adaptation?
Yeah, it'll be a digital guide for purchase. And it's looking like it's going to be, I don't know, something like 72 pages or something crazy, but obviously beautifully designed. And it will have an integrated digital download map. So, because the thing I always find, like, no one actually pulls out a physical map anymore, right? You're going to look at your phone. But you want to have the saved locations. And if you're traveling, you don't always have mobile data. So that's part of the plan as well. But step by step, I'll get the guide out first, and that'll be available on the Austrian Adaptation website.
Well, it's also actually a very good advice overall. There are so many people who are dreaming to become published authors, but they all think, okay, we need an editor, we need some publishing house who will actually print our work. But it's also a really, really great approach. And I really encourage all of our listeners to think about it, that you actually can create and publish a book by yourself. You don't need anyone for it, apart from your notebook and some internet connection, hopefully.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I mean, hopefully those other things will come, can come as well. But again, do it yourself first, get it out the door, see what happens. This is a very typical startup approach, like minimum viable product, get it out the door and test first. But it's definitely doable. I think a lot of us, myself included, spend a lot of time getting in our own way and overcomplicating things when you could just do the thing, try it, see what happens. If it fails, that's fine. Move on to the next iteration.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the right approach. But by the way, talking about failures, if you start Austrian Adaptation again, what would you do differently?
Oh my God, I would not have a brand name that includes a word and letters that people always forget and can't spell, especially when English is not their native language. Like, ugh, drives me crazy. And still to this day, I'm like, should I update the brand? But thought of all the SEO impact and everything else. So that is the first thing. I did not realize this like tiny little blog that I thought no one would read, I'd still be working on, you know, 5-6 years later. I don't think I would change much, except, you know, in the beginning, I was obviously reading a lot of other travel blogs and super inspired. And I thought that I, to be a legitimate, in quotation marks, to be a legitimate travel blogger, I thought I had to write about every destination in the world. And at the time it was, you know, the cool thing was to be a digital nomad and living in Bali and writing about like 16 different destinations and trying to be an expert on all of them. But actually most of my success and my work and the things that I'm proud of have come from being focused on Vienna and being focused on Austria. So in the beginning, I was trying to be cool and replicate other people's style of travel blogging or what I thought travel blogging should be. But actually, my competitive advantage was writing about Austria in English, because there's not a lot of people writing about it in English. So that's probably, I mean, I don't think I would have changed even if Carly from the future had come and told me to. But they're probably the two major things that I could have honed in on earlier.
Well, sounds like you were happy with most of your decisions. And what about your next steps? What do you want to achieve in the future?
So now what I'm looking at, I've obviously Austrian Adaptation is my baby, and that's going to keep ticking over, and I have a thousand different posts that I have a backlog to write. But what I'm focusing on now is getting the book out in the universe, and then really building up my coaching and consulting business. I know from my years of working as a team lead that I really, really enjoy encouraging other creative entrepreneurs to devise their career. And I also really strongly believe and am passionate about teaching people how to manage their time effectively. And so this sounds really boring in theory, but it's kind of the linchpin of everything that I do, whether it's, you know, managing your time when you travel, approaching from a slow travel perspective where you save with the small joys, or whether it's setting up your calendar week for success in work and business to make sure that you're maximizing your time and giving yourself enough free time and not burning out and prioritizing things on your calendar according to your values. This is what I really am passionate about and want to kind of work with people more on, because I've been through it myself. I see it so often, particularly in startups again, the overwork, the burnout, the focus on constant productivity, constant activity is really super destructive. And I think the advantage of the last few months of lockdown and work from home, we're really starting to recognize that actually you don't need everyone in the office 8 hours a day pretending to be working for the last 2 hours. You can be just as effective and productive in 4 hours of your day and spend the other 4 hours with your family or traveling or enjoying a meal or looking after your health. So this is what I'm super passionate about, and I want to coach and support people with some of the workflows and systems that I've used and put in place and coached other people with over the last few years. So that's where my energy is going on carlyhulls.com, to really work with people who are looking for the framework of structuring their time, building a travel business, or a creative entrepreneur is just maybe struggling to handle overwhelm and their creative businesses.
Do you have some books, YouTube channels, or other blogs that you find particularly helpful for entrepreneurs?
Yeah, for sure. So one of my favorite mentors or resources is Sarah Tasker. She's a creative based in Yorkshire in the UK, and she has the Instagram handle Me and Orla. But she has some very, very useful, very practical, but balanced approaches to building a creative business. So she has a podcast, she has a website, very, very useful. The other one that has kind of blown my mind over the last 6 months and comes back down to this how to manage your time idea is a book called Indistractable by a guy who worked in Silicon Valley called Nir Eyal. And he has this philosophy about making sure your calendar reflects your values. If you say that you value family time, but you're spending only an hour of your day with your family and 16 hours at work, your calendar's not reflecting those values. So that book and his, I mean, he's got a website as well, are super, super useful, I think, for just opening up your brain a little bit of alternative ways of approaching business. And personally for me, like, I think defining your own version of success is the first step for any business, for any creator. There's a couple of resources for that I like. Danielle Delaporte, Firestarter Sessions, and specifically for the travel industry, for any kind of wisdom, training, inspiration, Lola Akinamide Anderson is a goddess, and she has been in the industry for a long, long time and is super insightful and a really good example of how sticking to your own theme, staying in your lane, defining your own lane, is really effective and important. So yeah, they would be kind of my touch points of inspiration.
That sounds awesome. Thank you very much, Carly, for being with us today. It was really super insightful and amazing experience.
No worries at all. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, today we learned really a lot. We learned that writing about your experience might turn into your own business at some point. We learned that backpacking could bring you a job. That time management is an important thing for creative businesses. And that thinking global but staying local can be a great business concept even for travel industry. Thank you very much, and we're looking forward to see you again.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thank you for being with us.
If you are interested to learn more about career transition, please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find links in the podcast description. There you can also find links to resources mentioned in the episode.
If you have in mind some friends with exciting career transformation stories, please let us know. We are always looking for new guests.
Don't forget to hit a subscribe button and tell your friends about our podcast if you find it helpful.
Stay tuned!